year, half of them died. There was no, I mean, you know, there's some of them that died on the way over on the journey here to America, but that first winter, half of them died. And then what were they doing? They were committed to a cause, weren't they? They were committed to a cause. The boat that went back, they told the pilgrims, were like, hey, I mean, you're winter here. You have no shelter, nothing. We read the sacrifice that they made, that mothers slept on top of their children to keep them warm as they died during the winter. They died of diseases and everything else too. Starvation. Why? Because they believed in something. They believed in a promised land. They believed in a land flowing with milk and honey. And the milk and honey was the freedom to worship God the way we please. And I believe God has always honored that since that covenant that was cut, that they committed this land to the Lord and to that. And God has recognized that. So what we're seeing now is this. We are seeing something that was promised to us as believers. Just like the Hebrews were promised the land of Canaan, of course, this land is wonderful. It is. There are so many wonderful things about America. But many Christians are falling, I believe, falling short, and they're getting discouraged because they're seeing the giants, right? They're seeing the time lapse. They're seeing the circumstances. Well, we're seeing the giants. We're seeing the walled cities. We're seeing the circumstances, and there's no way out. We can't do it. Yes, they're absolutely correct. The Hebrews could not defeat them on their own. And they were right. But the God factor they left out, right? Yeah. That's the main important thing. That's what upset God so much was he said, I know the obvious, right? Hello, Captain Obvious. What's that show, you know? The commercial Captain Obvious, right? You know? It doesn't take a brain surgeon to be Captain Obvious, to state the obvious. But God was looking at, what about me? What about the God factor? What about me stepping in and changing things, right? Well, so we see there that they're talking about the walled cities in verse 28, and they're very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, right? The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwelled in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelled by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb. Now, Caleb's one of them that is, him and Joshua are the ones, two, that are coming back with a good report. The rest of them were, you know, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms, right? They were all down in the dumps. And verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses, wait, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for what? We are well able to overcome it. Are we able to overcome the corruption in our company or in our country? The answer is absolutely yes. Right? It looks impossible, and the enemy and the world system wants you to think this is impossible. The news, what are they doing? They're just barraging everything like, oh, it's all, everything's over, it's great, you know, they're just, these people are crazy, they're nuts, blah, 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 blah. And God is showing up. Amen. Things are being exposed. You know, the devil can only hide it so long until we see the truth. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go, the media, right? The Christians that are that can't open their Bible for themselves. They have about as spiritual discernment as my dog, right? Yeah. Or a turtle. And so they have no prayer, there's no fellowship in the Holy Spirit. There's no inward witness about anything, right? They just, everything's on the news. Well, this and that and blah, blah, blah. And the men went up with him and says, we're not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. So what is the point? Where are we getting at? Number one, it is the evil report that is going to destroy us if we'll let the evil report get inside of us, right? Yeah. What is it that Jesus told the Lord at the Garden of Gethsemane? He says, well, if you be the Son of God, right? Mm-hmm. What was that statement for? It was this. It was the statement that if you be the Son of God, the devil was coming to put doubt in Jesus' mind to the whole purpose of his existence, yeah. Right? Because if Jesus was not the Son of God, everything's done, right? Yeah. Then just quit. And so we go on here, and it says, and they brought up an evil report, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Mm-hmm. So again, the visual report, the media, the news, the talking heads, the this, the that, the everything that's going on, right? What about the God factor? Mm-hmm. See, we forget about the God factor. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, right? And we were in our, here is the key, our own sight. Mm-hmm. See, they were viewing it from their own standpoint. You know, it's really interesting. One time I remember when I was at Rhema, one of the instructors, his name was Doug Jones, and he was talking about how, you know, we often see things in our own lives, our problems, our financial situations, the things that are going on. And he said, you know, from a plane, everything looks so small. And I remember I was doing a lot of traveling and flying after I was done with Rhema there, and I was working full time there, and I was traveling a lot on a plane. And I remember him saying that. And I remember flying into Dallas, it was Riverside, California, outside of LA. And I was flying in John Wayne Airport one. It was January. It was almost this time of year. And I remember him hit those words in my mind, and I looked over, and everything was just dots, yeah. Right? Thousands of families, thousands of homes I was hovering over LA, and I'm thinking, from here, all those problems look so small. Mm-hmm. Everything looks so microscopic. But, you know, if we're sitting in this building and it looks so big, and if we go outside, it looks so big, but when we get in a plane and we're 10,000 feet in the air going 600 miles an hour, it looks pretty small, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. We're traveling about anywhere from, I don't know, 20,000 feet up in the air, however high. Again, it's all our perspective. And that's where they said, and we were in our sight, mm-hmm, as grasshoppers, and so we were in what? Their sight. Oh, did you have a conversation with them? I'm sorry. Spies don't usually come along and say, I'm a spy. I'm here to interview you. How do they know that they look like grasshoppers in their sight? They don't. It's all their, what? Their perspective, isn't it? Well, I see it, and they're viewing us this way. And let's cut to the chase. When they invaded Jericho, what was the thing that the harlot told them? We have been in fear that you're coming, right? They were afraid of the Hebrews. Why? Because they heard what they did to the Egyptians when God was on their side, right? That story of the Red Sea and what happened to the Egyptians, they were scared. Yeah. Yeah. And here they are, they're believing a lie, and they don't even know the truth. Because, mm-hmm, God is telling them, go take the land, I've already given it to you. Right? Because God knows that they are petrified. Yeah. That the word got out of how God backed up the Hebrews at the Red Sea. The situation looked absolutely impossible. God showed up, demonstrated himself, destroyed the army. It looked impossible, but God showed. It's the God factor. Yeah. Guys, we've got the God factor on our side moving forward, yeah, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter what news agency, what politician, what scam artist, what person here, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter because we've got God on our side, right? Right. Joshua chapter 1. Interesting here. So what's the story? We all know the story. What happened to them? Well, a two-week journey, it was 14 days long, turned into a 40-year wandering, right? Mm-hmm. in the desert. Because why? Because they would not accept the God factor. And why? Because it says they, and what? Evil report. Evil report. Now we think that, you know, our you know, evil report is something. It's just anything against the Word of God. Anything that goes against what He says, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus, how He defeated the devil in the wilderness after John the Baptist baptized Him in water. He came out of the Jordan. The Holy Spirit came upon Him like a dove. And then the voice. So that's one of the handful, a few places where the Trinity is all at the same place. You've got Jesus is being baptized. You get the Holy Spirit coming upon Him. And then you have the Father saying, "This is My Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's one of the very few places in the Bible where the Trinity is at one place. Mm-hmm. He goes out. The Holy Spirit leads him. Now, this is kind of hard for a lot of people in denominations. They think, well, why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus out to be tempted to defeat the devil? Mm-hmm. See, we have a sin consciousness that we think defeat, right? We think that if the Lord is leading us to take on the enemy, we're thinking, again, the natural mind thinks scared, but Jesus did not think that. He thought, I'm defeating the enemy. Why? Because he thought about the God factor. Mm-hmm. And what did he use? He used the Word. Mm-hmm. And what was the thing that got the children of Israel, the Hebrews, in trouble? Was because they would not adhere to the Word or the promise of God, which was, this is your land. Look at the circumstances. And it's easy for us to look back and say, okay, these guys must be absolute knuckleheads where they walked out of the Red Sea, God destroyed their enemies, and they're still doubting God. Mm-hmm. Now, I would absolutely freak out if I was at the Red Sea, yeah, and the Red Sea parted, yeah, and I walked through, and then right as my enemies came, the sea closed up and destroyed the enemies, and it was absolutely impossible, and God showed up. Now, if that didn't do it before the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, now that would have been a factor for me. You know, I'd have been like, okay, there's this pillar that's leading us here, right? A fire by night and then this cloud by day. I mean, just a few clues. I mean, you know, hello, we're putting the pieces together here. God is working. But God's done things in our life and we've ignored, you know. We've all been there. You know, we can play armchair quarterback to all the disciples and all the people in the Bible, but what would we have done in that situation, right? And again, these people have had a slave mentality for over 400 years. So their thinking was slave mentality. And it was not getting them out of Egypt that was the challenge. It was getting Egypt out of them. That's the key. And we need to get Egypt out of us, amen, to believe God. So let's look at Joshua here, and then we'll close things up here in just a few minutes. Now, God is, so they're done wandering in the all over, you know, the wilderness for 40 years. And now Moses is his verse 1 of 1:1 of Joshua, and it says, now unto the death of Moses. So we see that Moses passed away, right? Now that mantle has gone on to Joshua. What is Joshua do? So this generation is now gone. The doubters, the naysayers, the, you know, the evil report group, they're gone. And now we have Joshua, which he and Caleb are now going to eat the fruits thereof, moving forward. And they were the two that had a good report. They're moving on. But look at, what does God, throughout the first chapter of Joshua, what does he focus on? He focuses on, well, let's read it. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, talking to Joshua here, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. Now, if God is sitting there, And he's telling you, I'm going to be with you and I'm never going to fail you. And then he goes, nor forsake you. I've got your back. Now, if God tells you that, you can take it to the bank, all right? You can just cash the check right now, right? You can spend the money because it's good. So, what is God doing? What is the Lord doing to Joshua? Number one, he's getting his thinking in line before they take one step towards Jericho. He has got to get his mind. Why? Because he knows that the evil report totally crashed and burnt the previous generation, right? The 10 spies with the negative report went throughout and it just destroyed everything. And God is like, okay, we're here at the goal line now, all right? We are in the red zone. We're ready to go in for the touchdown, to get the grand slam, the big, you know, we're going to win this game here. But we've got to get our head wrapped around this first, right? And that's the main thing throughout the word, right? The devil attacks our thinking. So you would think that'd be enough. The Lord said, hey, I got your back. Just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm always going to be with you. I'm never going to fail you, and I will not forsake you. You think you stop there? No, God keeps going. He says, be strong and of good courage. That's verse 6. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. At the end of it, it says, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest, right? So no matter what you do, Joshua, you're going to be prosperous. And then verse 8 keeps going. This book of the law, which is the Bible, we can say the word, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Why is he saying that? Because his thinking and our thinking has got to be aligned with the God factor. Once we get out of the God factor, the game's over, right? I always like to think of it this way. Anytime the devil gets you out of the spirit realm, into the natural, he's got you defeated every time. We cannot defeat the devil in the natural. Why? Because circumstances will come along. You know, feelings will come along. Everything will come along. Mm-hmm. And that's why people are defeated all the time, right? Well, I got these symptoms. Well, the doctor said this. Well, my bank account says that. Well, you know, I feel like this. I'm thinking this and blah, 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 blah. No. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and you will have good success. Right? And then he goes on to verse 9. Have not I commanded you? Again, God is saying this. It's like, okay, I think Joshua's got it, but he doesn't. He ain't got it yet, right? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou so goest. Now, verse 18. What if we did this to all of the naysayers in the church? Let me read this. The Lord says, whatsoever he be that does rebel, so those people that rebels against the commandment, and will not hearken unto my words in all that thou commands him, he shall be put to death. And then here's the last statement. Shocking. Only be strong and what? Of good courage. Right? Shut the naysayers up in your life, right? Those people that say that you can't do it, it'll never happen, God will never come through, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you'll never do it, you're a kook, I can't believe you're believing that spirit-filled stuff, why do you speak in tongues? All the naysayers in your life, cut them out. Just get rid of them, right? I mean, I love people that, you know, but it's like you can only go so far with people in your life. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be hateful and mean to people, and I don't suggest you kill them, all right? And we're not saying that, all right? But what I am saying is people are going to come along. They're going to be naysayers. Get rid of them. And then what is that after that? be strong, and be of good courage. Amen? Be strong and be of good courage, right? Because you're going to have naysayers come along in your life. You're going to have the news. You're going to have this. You're going to have situations. You're going to have people. You're going to have religious folks. You're going to have family and friends and those people that, you know, your buddies from high school or college or whatever, right? All those people you're familiar with. They're going to come along and, well, you know, you're just not very good at that. Well, you know, you've never done this very good. Well, you know, your track record, let me tell you my track record is, I'm born again, therefore my daddy is God. I don't need a track record, right? I'm good with him. He and I were good. He and I are a majority. As long as he gives me a stamp of approval, I'm cool, right? I don't need your approval, right? And we don't need people's approval often. And if we're looking for approval or, you know, a consensus, that's why I always laugh about things. Like, you'll see things on TV, like I was watching one thing about, this person would have this impassioned debate about, some environmental things like global warming or something. And, you know, well, you know, so many percentage of scientists believe in this. I'm like, you know, I don't need a consensus of scientists to tell me whether gravity is real or not, right? You know, give me a break. Like, who are you trying to convince? You know, it's always the world's trying to convince you of something. Well, this group of people believe this, and there's so many people that believe this, you know? You know, I've had people say, like, well, you know, there's all these people that they follow the Catholic. Well, good. I don't follow the Pope, right? Well, the Pope said this. Well, Jesus says this, right? I think Jesus outranks the Pope a little bit, right? The Holy Ghost outranks the Pope, all right? So, you know, again, we're not driven by, you know, well, how many people and what's popular and this group of people and this study and this and blah, blah, blah. It's all about him. It's the God factor. Amen? And as we're moving forward, just know that the whole book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, is the Hall of Fame. And it is people who are down and out. I mean, you look at the people. There's murders. There's adulterers. There's prostitutes. There's, I mean, liars, thieves, deceivers. Jacob was a deceiver. That's his name. Right? And what do they refer to? I worship, especially Old Testament, I worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Which is, well, it was laughter, but one of them was deceiver, right? How'd you like to have that as your name? Deceiver. That's a real. But God used people, right? Just like David. I mean, we consider David a huge hero in the faith. Why? Because he messed up. He loved God with a passion. He repented and continued to follow God, right? He made mistakes, but he got up. I remember one powerful thing that Jesse Duplantis talks about just as we close here about, you know, he went to heaven and just really, I love listening to stories about heaven, and it's very encouraging to, you know, sometimes we get, you know, when you're looking at life and you're seeing things that are going on and you're thinking, God, is there any justice? You know, you think, God, is there anything going on? Is there anything good in this world? And then you hear people who go to heaven and how wonderful it is and how loving God is and how Jesus is there. And I mean, that just makes my universe. I mean, that just makes my life, you know, that just makes my eternity just hearing about the Lord and how wonderful he is and, you know, the babies that have gone on that, you know, and just all the kids that are there that the Lord has, you know, received unto himself and just the love there in heaven. But, you know, just talking with Jesse Duplantis, talking with David one time, and he said, you know, you're always one of my heroes. And he goes, well, if I would have listened to the Lord, I would have gone through a lot of the things that I did. And I shouldn't have gone through some of the things I've done. But he repented and turned around. And what was the main thing? He had the God factor, mm-hmm. Right? He had the God factor. So anyway, just moving forward, remember the God factor. Amen. When circumstances, just remember what the Lord told Joshua. Meditate in the word day and night. Get it in us. And be strong and very courageous. Amen. Mm-hmm. Be strong. Be strong and of good courage. And we see that the Lord tells Joshua several times throughout just the first chapter to be strong. Amen. Why? Because God is so good. You know, he says that he'd be with him. He would never fail him, and he'll never forsake him. And guess what he's doing for us right now? He is with us. This is Old Testament, too. I mean, these people didn't have Jesus living inside of them, the Holy Ghost living inside of them, and for Spirit-filled, the Holy Spirit upon us. They were not containers of God like we are. We've got to think of ourselves like that. We really do. We need to think of ourselves as containers. And we are, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which means the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. Jesus said there in the book of Matthew, he said, me and my Father, we're going to make our abode in you. Mm-hmm. That means his home. Not only that, but when he makes his home, he lives in us. He makes himself comfortable. He communes. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place of dwelling. It's a place of connection. And so these people weren't even God containers yet. Now, the Spirit of God would come on, you know, prophets, priests, and kings to do certain things, right? But they didn't have the Spirit living on them all the time or in them. And we've got God is telling Joshua, a spiritually dead person, that, I'm always going to be here with you. I'm always got your back. I'm never going to fail you. And I'm never going to forsake you. So be strong and be of good courage. And so that to me just boggles my mind that God is so passionate about people. Because, you know, in the religious sense, I'm kind of going off a tangent here, but sometimes I believe in a religious sense, and I've done this before, when I've read the Old Testament, you know, it seems like God's kind of rough with people, you know, and he just kind of, but he's dealing with people who are spiritually dead, who have no ability to connect with God, and he's doing what he can. But he's also revealing himself and the Word of God, and he's revealing himself as a process throughout the Word of God. Amen? And, can you imagine where, you know, the Bible starts out with, don't eat of the fruit, and anything comes along, take authority over it. That was it. Now we have the law of love. We have the whole word of God that the Lord has spoke to us. And it all began with two little commandments. Mm-hmm. Don't eat of the fruit. And then that dwarfed into 10 commandments. And then that dwarfed into the law, which is if you sin, if you do this sin, you need two turtle doves. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to take it to the priest. He takes the fat. He cuts it up. He puts it at the bottom of the altar. He takes the blood and pours it on the antlers. And he does this, and he does that, and he does this, and he does that. It's a PhD doctrinal thesis just on how to get your sins covered. That's complicated. Sin complicates life. We saw that in the Old Testament. But he still loves us, right? And he's still fighting for people whom he loves that ran away from him and doing things. But anyway, the God factor. Amen. Father, we come before you. I thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. Tonight, we thank you that we can be very strong, very courageous, because you're never going to forsake us. You'll never fail us, Lord. You're always going to be here, and you're always going to take care of us, Lord. And you love us, Lord. And even the worst thing that could happen to us, Lord, is that we die, we end up in the arms of Jesus tonight. We love you, Jesus. It doesn't matter what outcome is, we always win. We're always winners, Lord. We thank you for it tonight. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you, Lord. You know, and Father, as I pray also, we thank you for your healing power flowing into our bodies, Lord. Those people that are gone, we speak healing power right now into their bodies, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, right now. Every person in the church that needs healing, the healing power is flowing into their body, Lord, right now. We thank you for it, Jesus, right now. We curse sickness. We curse disease in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that the glory and the power of God is flowing in their bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.